Now, more of the Patricia Raskin Show on WPRO. Call Patricia now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the second half of our program, which is also brought to you by Age-Friendly Rhode Island, which is a coalition of community and state agencies, healthcare and social service providers, older adults, advocacy and faith-based organizations, businesses and academic institutions dedicated to meeting the preferences of Rhode Islanders as they age. And you can learn more about Age-Friendly Rhode Island at agefriendlyri.org. And you can find them on Facebook and Twitter at AgeFriendlyRI. I'm very honored to introduce my next guest. And my program with her is pre-recorded. It's Jane Seymour. She is a multiple Emmy and Golden Globe winner. She's a recipient of the Office of the British Empire. She's appeared on TV mostly, noted for Dr. Quinn Medicine Women. She's been in film and stage around the world. We're discussing her new book, The Road Ahead. She's sharing inspirational stories. She talks a lot about her mother, who died at 92. She talks about her three-step process of acceptance and forgiveness and selfless acts of kindness. Enjoy the interview. I'll come back live and share in between the breaks, but she was very, very special to interview. Hope you enjoy it. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Jane Seymour. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you on the program. You know, this new book, The Road Ahead, Inspirational Stories of Open Hearts and Minds, how did you come up with this? You've done a lot of books like this, like the book Remarkable Changes, but this one's a little different.
Well, I really felt that there were some extraordinary stories that were coming to me ever since I've had the open heart message out there. And the people I've met in art shows, the people I've met at speeches, the people I've just met in life, and so many people were really inspired by the, you know, really that message. And they would send me extraordinary stories. And I just thought, how wonderful would it be if I could actually tell their stories long form rather than just a snippet here and a snippet there in my little open heart books. Mm. And so we kind of put the word out while I was doing it and just said, you know, if you know someone with an extraordinary story, if you have an extraordinary story that you think would fit these parameters, please send them to me. Well, you can't even imagine. I mean, it was really hard, really hard to pick. And so, you know, we had them in different categories. And really my hope was that this would inspire people to realize that when they feel they've come across something in their life that is so seemingly impossible to deal with and is going to bring them down, that these are people who somehow manage to accept, like my mother would or like I do, and push forward discover that there was a road ahead. Right. There was, you know, albeit a different life ahead, but a really valuable life, and in some cases, almost a better life, but, you know, a life that gave them purpose.
Jane,
and so it was really, you know, I've always loved some chicken soup for the soul, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So this is my very specific
question. So let me ask you, in this book, do you have women and men who are over 50 in their latter part of life, over 50, over 60? Share some of that and how, a little bit about those stories.
Well, I have one friend in particular who talks about, she's over 50, but she talked about her son and about how her son went through terrible addiction issues and came out the other end. And, you know, we've got a lot of different kinds of stories. I'm trying to think of off the top of my head.
I think also Susan. I think Susan Rizzo-Vincent, too.
Well, Susan's story is classic. I mean, I usually quote Susan's story because
and she's from Rhode Island, by the way.
To lose a child, but to lose a child that you thought you were going to lose at birth or in the first few years of their life because they're in and out of children's hospital with a rare form of leukemia, and you just don't know from one treatment to the next if they're ever going to make it. And then to finally have them actually be able to grow up and get beyond that, and you just know they're going to have a life, and you enjoy that life for them, and then randomly, not cancer, not leukemia, but a drunk driver takes the life of that precious child. You know, how do you get past that one? That makes no sense at all. It's, and, you know, Susan told me that she was very unraveled, obviously, understandably, when it happened. It's just, why me? Why her? How can this happen? This doesn't make any sense. And I think a lot of people go through that, where they just go, I can't live anymore. I can't mm-hmm. keep going. Mm-hmm. And she was surrounded by amazing friends, both hers and her daughter's friends, who really came together and said, Andrea, your daughter had a dream, and her dream was to bring dance therapy into children's hospitals mm-hmm. where she spent so much of her time, and, you know, to bring joy and laughter and movement to people who are like sitting there with their IVs in their arms and who've lost their hair, who have very little energy, you know, some of whom are waiting to have brain surgeries. I mean, these are young boys and girls who would thrive on having somebody come in and show them how to dance, even mm-hmm. right there in the hospital. And at first I just thought, well, this is very, you know, I couldn't imagine, how does that work? So I went to Children's Hospital and I saw it mm-hmm. in practice, and I've never been more moved in my life, because first of all, the kind of therapy they do with them, it's, you know, little games, you know, copy this movement, that movement, there's music, there's mm-hmm. Everyone starts laughing because it's a bit silly, they do silly stuff. And then I saw this young boy who was lying in a separate room with her mother and his mother, and we said, do you want to join in? And she looked at us like, no, no. And he went, no. And they weren't even able to talk to each other. And he was waiting, we didn't realize it, to go in to have brain surgery, for which mm-hmm. There was no guarantee that he was going yeah. to come out alive. Yeah. And they saw us having so much fun with the other kids that we just thought, although even though you said no, you know, we'll just start bringing the therapy into your room a little bit and just see it. Mm. And he just started moving a little bit, then moved his Wonderful. Arms and moved his head and mm-hmm. started laughing and started smiling, and the mother joined in, we all joined in. And then they wheeled him out, and he was still laughing and smiling mm. as they took him through mm. the door. And I've never forgotten the mother. Yeah. You know, the doors closed, and she turned to us, tears pouring down her face, and she said, oh, my gosh, she said, if this is the last time I ever see him, he was laughing, he was smiling, we were connected.
Oh, and amazing,
so,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that, yeah. you just...
it's amazing.
Okay, well, this yep. seems like a very little thing. And
but it's not. It's
but
not.
It's and not, it's huge. And I just went the other day, and I saw Susan randomly. I was in New York, and
she said
there.
That.
And yeah. Anyway, yeah. It was amazing. I saw yeah. it in. I saw it all happening again in front of my eyes, and I just went, wow. Mm. I'm so glad we honored.
Yes,
her, and I'm so glad she told her story.
And I want to also say that, Susan, I'm so glad you told that story, Jane, because Susan Rizzo-Vincent is a resident of Rhode Island. So she's here in our state. And I've gotten to know her over the years. She's become a friend. And she is a remarkable woman. I mean, to have the... And this was her only child. And as you said, she was sick and had cancer, but didn't die of that. Died of from a drunk driver. And how, you know, how horrible. But Susan turned that around, and she created a foundation. Now she's helping all these children around the country with cancer. And you've been such a wonderful proponent of that for her.
And you know, I think the reason why I wanted to put her story in The Road Ahead particularly is that when you actually look at her now, she's one of the happiest people
yes.
I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
She's so fulfilled. She's
yes.
so full of joy. She's yeah. so full of unconditional yeah. love. She is so humble and yet empowered by what she's been able to make happen. And so grateful in some ways to have had that opportunity, even though she had to go through hell, to have a reason to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is really what The Road Ahead is about.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And in your book, you have a 3-step process: acceptance, unconditional forgiveness, and selfless acts of kindness. Talk about
right.
that. Let's talk about the acceptance, because
sometimes
people just can't accept.
My mother, who survived World War II in an internment camp, a Japanese camp in Indonesia, you know, she was the first one. She just said, darling, she said, if you have anything really terrible in your life, you'll close off your heart. You'll keep it inside of you. You won't let anyone know. You can't share it. You go through a lot of stages of why me, you know, did this really happen? I mean, a million different stages, she said, but the only way you can move forward is when you accept that it happened, that, you know, for whatever reason, you have to let go of it. You just have to say, it happened. It's done.
Hmm.
It's part of my life.
Yep.
And and a lot of people just can't accept things, you know. They want to go back to something.
Yeah, yeah.
Jane, you never go back.
What was she like in her later years, like 60
she was
plus?
Amazing. I mean, a woman who ate all the wrong things, never exercised that I ever saw. certainly hardly ever went to have a facial or have her hair done. You know, we used to do it ourselves. You know, lived on a tight budget. But she at 92, even though she had macular degeneration, she was fairly hard of hearing. She had obviously a lot of arthritis. She didn't let any of that stop her. First of all, she wouldn't wear a hearing aid, so she'd just burst out in the middle of a conversation and be hilarious because she'd think we were talking about something else. So she used humor, self-depreciating humor. Yeah. You know, it didn't upset her that she would be saying the wrong thing. She'd just shrug her shoulders and go, oh, well, oh, you know, and we'd all laugh and go, oh, Mika.
Yeah.
She would still prepare food for friends, even though she could barely see the ingredients.
Wow, amazing.
She dialed a very large phone that we put large numbers on so that she could call her friends who were very depressed and very down. You know, who had no one else, you know, because their husband had died, or they were alone, or they were blind, or they couldn't move anymore, they were housebound.
And
my mother would call
them
every day and say, hey, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. What's going on? And they'd say, oh, this and that and this and that. And she'd say, yes, but this and that and this and that are great things.
Wow.
And she'd put a smile on her face and make
Well, she rubbed off on you, don't you think, Jane? I mean, you're 60 plus, and you look like you're 40.
Oh, thank you. Well,
and you tell us about, I mean, you're just, you keep moving. I mean, you're doing amazing things.
Well, you know what? I don't quantify my life experience by the number. I've lost a number of friends this year and last year, my age and slight and younger than me. And that's a major awakening when you realize that you have to value every waking minute you have. And because I had a near-death experience myself many, many years ago with anaphylactic shock and was resuscitated, I've never forgotten that, first of all, it doesn't hurt to die, the person who's dying. It does traumatize everyone around them watching. Mm-hmm. And that you get very calm when that happens. And no panic, no pain. No stress. For some reason, a calm comes over you. So the fear of actually passing left me. But the desire to stay here became much more so because I realized how valuable my life was or anyone's life and how the only things you take with you when you die are the love you've shared with people and the difference you've made. So it's the love you've given and the love you've received. And, of course, we all know the more unconditional love you give, the more you do receive.
Right. What do you say to people 55, 60 plus who feel like, well, I've retired, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, or I'm worried about... They're not looking up, Jane. What would be your advice?
Well, I look up. I mean, I will not define myself by what I can't do. So, for example, you know, I'm not the world's greatest golfer by any means. And I've had a bad back. I've had back surgery. I mean, the last thing in the world I really should do is play golf. But I thought, I want to engage with my sons. My sons love to play golf. They're athletes. I can go out there, and the least I could do is pitch and putt with them, or at least walk around with them, or, you know, enjoy watching them play.
Right.
And then I thought, you know what? Let me see. Maybe I can exercise and stretch and do some things and you know, play best ball with them. So I'll, you know, hit one ball and then pick my ball up and join them for the shorter game. So now I am actually back and engaged in a sport that I love that I can play with my 22-year-olds.
Isn't that wonderful?
Okay, so what else can I say? Art. I mean, art is something I can do forever and ever and ever. My mother, in her 90s, even blind, pretty much blind, and never really an artist to begin with. Oh, my God, how much fun did she have making figures out of clay. Yeah. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So it's never too late, Jane. Never too late.
That's exactly what I'm going to say. And I have been to so many old people's homes where I've seen the happiest people there, the people who, having been put in the home, somebody introduced them to art therapy, and they just suddenly discovered that they had a talent for it and a joy, you know, for doing this. And they love it. They get so excited, and they do it, you know, in a community with other people. So while they're painting and drawing, they laugh if it's not going right, and they get proud if someone says, wow, that's really good. And if they learn something, they feel they're growing rather than going backwards. And I think the same with music.
I've seen the arts.
I've seen amazing things happen, especially with people with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. The lights just shine out of their eyes the moment they are dancing to and moving to music.
Wonderful. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be back with the remarkable and incredible Jane Seymour, who is a multiple Emmy and Golden Globe winner. She's a recipient of the Office of the British Empire, and she's renowned in so many things, not just film, but also as an artist and designer and many things. And this program is brought to you by Age-Friendly Rhode Island. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with more of Jane Seymour right here on WPRO.
Now, more of the Patricia Raskin Show on WPRO. Call Patricia now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
And we are back. We are back with Jane Seymour. This program is brought to you by Age-Friendly Rhode Island, which is a coalition of community and state agencies and all sorts of people in our wonderful state to help build an age-friendly Rhode Island, and to meet the needs of preferences of Rhode Islanders as they age. And again, my guest is Jane Seymour, who's a multiple Emmy and Golden Globe winner and a recipient of the Office of the British Empire. And she's appeared on television, film, and so many opportunities throughout her life. And Jane, in your book, which is The Road Ahead, it's a brand new book, so folks, please do look up this book, The Road Ahead, and Jane Seymour's website is janeseymour.com. This is her 10th book, correct, Jane? Your 10th book.
You know, I've lost count. There may be more if you count the children's books.
So, The Road Ahead, Inspirational Stories of Open Hearts and Minds. And you tell stories of amazing people who've been through hardships and how they've gotten through. And your formula is acceptance, which you talked about. As you said, your mother said, you just have to accept what happened. But then you talk about the second one, which is unconditional forgiveness and then selfless acts of kindness. Explain those.
Well, again, after the traumas of the war, my mother couldn't really talk too much about what had happened. And I've discovered when I did War and Remembrance that I met lots of people who had survived Auschwitz and Birkenau. And you know, they also could not talk about what had actually happened. But an amazing thing happened with my mother. When I was filming, she said one day when I was doing War and Remembrance, and we were actually in Auschwitz, in the middle of the night, she said, I'm ready to go back. And I went, back where? And home or to the hotel? And she said, no, back to Indonesia. I want to see where I was.
We thought,
wow, that's amazing. So we took her back, and she'd always been terrified, my father said. She'd have nightmares all the time, a lot of post-traumatic stress. And any, if she ever saw anyone Japanese, it was incredibly frightening to her. And my father was asked to speak at in Japan, in Tokyo, as a doctor. And my mother just grit her teeth and just said, I am going to go. I'm going to try and make this happen. And she said to me, she got on the airplane and she was terrified. And then when she looked around, she said, these are not the people I remember. These are different people. And she was able to not just forgive, but you know, find some way to move forward from it. And she always said, darling, you know, you'll have stuff that you have to let go of, and you can't let go of it until you forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that, you know, there's a lot of things that are beyond your control that you have to let go of. I mean, in my life, I've had a lot of betrayal in terms of personal relationships. And when I've managed to actually forgive and let go of it, mm-hmm. I'm the recipient,
yes,
not the other person.
Wonderful.
I'm the one that lets go of this mm-hmm. poison that rots inside of my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cannot, keep hanging on to, oh, yes, well, this happened to me, poor me, I'm the victim, why me, you know, they did wrong. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, they'll probably never apologize.
Right.
But you know what? I can let go of it. I
and
can
move
just
on.
Go, okay.
Absolutely.
And
you've
done.
Done so well.
I'm moving forward.
Wow. Jane, what would you like to leave our listeners with today? If they get one thing out of this interview, what's your message?
Well, I think my message was that when you're stuck in this place, probably the best way of getting out of it is to look outside of your circumstances and just take a look around you. And my mother was right. She said, you will always find someone substantially worse off than you. Mm-hmm. And if you see someone worse off than you and you know there is something that you can do to help them, whether it's just a phone call, whether it's just listening to them, a cup of tea, or you can help them out financially, or you can make them some food, or you can take the kids off their hands for a little break so they have a chance to regroup and, you know, have a break for themselves, whatever it is that you uniquely can do to help them, when you do that, it just feeds your soul. It just fills your heart. And you feel like you have a purpose. And I think a lot of people are very lonely and bitter and sad and just, you know, lost because they don't have a purpose in life. I think if you can find a purpose, whether it's, you know, helping another human being or an animal or, you know, maybe you were a teacher or you were a parent and you know how to teach a kid who's struggling learning how to read, or maybe you still have your eyesight and someone else you know doesn't and you can help them across the street. Whatever it is, there is always something you can do. And every time you have a purpose and you do something to help somebody else, it helps you.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you so much, really, for being on the program. It's really wonderful. The incredible and iconic Jane Seymour. Thank you, Jane.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back. We are live. I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. And wasn't that a very special interview with Jane Seymour? And I'm very excited because now I have live with me by phone Susan Rizzo-Vincent. Susan was one of the people in Jane's book, The Road Ahead, that Jane talked about in the interview in the first half, and about how Susan had an amazing story with a very beautiful daughter who had cancer, but she actually was killed by a drunk driver. And Susan, in all that tragedy, turned this around, created the Rizzo Foundation, and now she's helping children with cancer all over the country, bringing dancers. And I'm not going to talk anymore because, Susan, take it away, my dear friend Susan Rizzo-Vincent, who is from Rhode Island. Susan, so happy to have you here.
Thank you, Patricia, so much for having me. And it was wonderful because I was just very moved by Jane's interview with you as well. And one thing that really I tuned into was when she talked about acceptance, you know, and the need for you to accept. I know for me, by accepting, it opens you up to the love and support that others offer you. Mm-hmm. And that's was probably what gave me the strength and the positive energy to turn my own pain around and to do something positive with it and to form the Andrea Rizzo Foundation and provide pediatric dance therapy to kids with cancer and special needs in hospitals and schools throughout the country. So absolutely, by accepting the help and the love and support around you, it just gives you that strength that you need.
And your foundation brings therapists and dance therapists, correct, into these hospitals?
Correct, yes. We fund dance movement therapy, and the dance movement therapists that are funded by our foundation go into the child's room and might even be doing sessions bedside. I know Jane has seen both bedside sessions, as she described, in Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and then she recently was at Memorial Sloan Kettering, where she observed a group session, a small group session. And it really is always about meeting the child where they are at and having the child lead, because really, their childhood has been taken from them. All control has been taken from them when they're, you know, stuck in a hospital bed and they're hooked up to an IV. This gives them an opportunity to take control and to lead the movement. Of course, being led well by the expertise of a dance therapist.
And we could say this, too, about people who are older. Same thing when they're confined to a bed. We want opportunity for them as well. What do you see as you get older you know, you're a baby boomer, as am I. What do you see now? I mean, you've had a tragedy. You're helping so many people through this foundation. What do you see in terms of aging up and positive aging? We've got about a minute, Susan.
I guess I would just say, and I think that most people like yourself, you're very active, is to just remain active, but also to constantly be meeting new people and having new experiences, because that just gives you so much more energy.
Right, and
so
also
it's a lovely cycle,
and it's brought your life to you just through the foundation. Right, it's given you such motivation.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Susan, thanks so much for being on the program. Stay on the line for a minute. Thank you. All right, folks, this program has been brought to you by Age-Friendly Rhode Island, which is a coalition of community and state agencies and healthcare and social service providers, organizations, academic institutions, and businesses. They want to meet the needs and preferences of Rhode Islanders as they age. Log on to agefriendlyri.org and with Facebook and Twitter at agefriendlyri. Remember, stay happy, stay healthy, get the support you need, and know you can make your dreams come true. Thank you for listening. It's been a wonderful program. Have a wonderful week. I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We're the voices of Southern New England. See you next week.